A reading from the book of Proverbs. Wisdom has built her house. She has set up her seven columns. She has dressed her meat, mixed her wine. Yes, she has spread her table. She has sent out her maidens. She calls from the heights out over the city. Let whoever is simple turn in here. To the one who lacks understanding, she says, come, eat of my food and drink of the wine I have mixed. Forsake foolishness that you may live. Advance in the way of understanding. The word of the Lord.
Taste and see the goodness of the Lord. Taste and see the goodness of the Lord. I will bless the Lord at all times. His praise shall be ever in my mouth. Let my soul glory in the Lord. The lowly will hear me and be glad. Taste and see the goodness of the Lord. Glorify the Lord with me. Let us together extol his name. I sought the Lord, and he answered me, and delivered me from all my fears. Taste and see the goodness of the Lord. Look to him that you may be radiant with joy, and your faces may not blush with shame. When the poor one called out, the Lord heard, and from all his distress he saved him. Taste and see the goodness of the Lord.
A reading from the letter of St. Paul to the Ephesians. Brothers and sisters, watch carefully how you live. Not as foolish persons, but as wise, making the most of the opportunity, because the days are evil. Therefore, do not continue in ignorance, but try to understand what is the will of the Lord. And do not get drunk on wine, in which lies debauchery, but be filled with the Spirit, addressing one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing and playing to the Lord in your hearts, giving thanks always and for everything in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ to God the Father. The word of the Lord.
A reading from the Holy Gospel according to John. Jesus said to the crowds, I am the living bread that came down from heaven. Whoever eats this bread will live forever, and the bread that I will give is my flesh for the life of the world. The Jews quarreled among themselves, saying, how can this man give us his flesh to eat? Jesus said to them, amen, amen, I say to you, unless you eat the flesh of the Son of Man and drink his blood, you do not have life within you. Whoever eats my flesh and drinks my blood has eternal life, and I will raise him on the last day. For my flesh is true food, and my blood is true drink. Whoever eats my flesh and drinks my blood remains in me, and I in him. Just as the living Father sent me, and I have life because of the Father, so also the one who feeds on me will have life because of me. This is the bread that came down from heaven. Unlike your ancestors who ate and still died, whoever eats this bread will live forever. The Gospel of the Lord. Good evening, everyone. This part of John's Gospel, today we hear some very dark and very candid words from Jesus. And he no longer speaks of himself as the bread of life in the very beginning of this particular piece of the Gospel, but he begins to speak about his flesh and blood as being that. There's He's shifting again. As I said over the past couple of weeks, he keeps shifting and moving through the different understandings of bread. And now he's being very direct with them. The words are very frank and they are very physical. The ones that Jesus used that are translated into the Greek that John is using, there is no mistake about it. It's all about eating his flesh and drinking his blood. Yes, of course, in Jesus' time, in the way the rabbis would speak, one of them would make a reference to their body. Not necessarily that they used blood, but they would say body and blood. They meant the whole person when they said, of my flesh. They're saying everything about me, all of my being. So certainly Jesus is meaning that. It's the reaction of the people that tells us something else is happening. It shocked them. They were angered by what he was saying, and they heard it right from his own mouth. And they knew the anger, he was talking differently now. He was talking about it in a very real and tangible way for them. And remember, in their culture, they couldn't even touch the blood of another human. If they did, they were considered to be unclean. So there's so much going on. For us Christians, we are not so shocked by these words of Jesus receiving his body and blood of Christ, because it almost seems routine. Pray that we do not treat the Eucharist as such. It's just a routine, but that we always recognize the great gift that is in the Eucharist. But I wanted to look at in what sense Jesus gives us his flesh and blood. As I mentioned, it meant on the one level, his whole self. And this is the reason why the church has body, blood, soul, and divinity. All of what Jesus is. But it also has several other meanings to it. First, he gave himself completely in his absolute obedience to his Father's will. Then he gave himself wholly or completely on the cross for us. And just before he did that, he gave himself completely, flesh and blood, to his disciples at the Last Supper under the appearance of bread and wine. Now, St. John in his gospel reflects on the Eucharistic meaning of Jesus' words. My friends, the entire discourse with the crowd on the subject of bread, for St. John, the Eucharist, as we understand it, because he understood it the same way, is never far from St. John's mind. And there are what scripture scholars today call indirect reminders in the phrases as the bread of life, the living bread. Jesus says, whoever eats my flesh and drinks my blood has eternal life, and I will raise him on the last day. We understand this as the Eucharist. We accept the Lord's words in faith because there is no other way to accept them. The Eucharist is a mystery of faith. It is also a mystery of his divine love. Remember, everything that the Lord does is out of love. And it is a mystery of his divine presence. Because do you remember, I know you know this, but I'm going to remind you, Jesus is very much alive. He's not a statue. He's not a stained glass window. He's not someone from the past. He's very much alive. So we're talking about a real person who's very much alive. And yet we are to consume his very flesh and blood. Do you guys ever think, is it just me? Do I sit at the rectory and think about these things and the whole thing rattles around in my head and then I just get a headache? I shouldn't be thinking about it like that. Or maybe I should. The Eucharist is Christ himself. Body, blood, soul, and divinity. And therefore the whole Christ. Truly, really, substantially contained. That comes from the Catechism of the Catholic Church, 1374 article. It is the flesh and blood of Christ. Mysteriously and divinely flesh and blood of the heavenly Son of Man. We need to remind ourselves of the three components of the Eucharist as Mother Church understands it. These are the Eucharist as sacrifice, the Eucharist as communion, and the Eucharist as his true presence. And that's why I said he's very much alive and yet body and blood. Kaboom! I don't understand, but I believe. As sacrifice, the Eucharist, and I have to be very clear with the reenacts and represents the sacrificial death of Jesus. Christ's saving power is remembered in the Eucharist, and it is made present. These are the very words of the Catechism that the Church has taught from the beginning. In this way, we are able to offer the Father our greatest form of worship, the gift that is most pleasing to him. You will actually hear it in the words of the Mass tonight, his beloved Son. His beloved Son's sacrifice. That's why we say in the Church, the greatest prayer that we have is the Mass itself, because it reenacts and represents in a bloodless way the sacrifice. Not remembering it yesterday or 2,000 years ago, but actual. In return, the graces of Christ's sacrifice are made available to us. As communion, spiritual food, the Eucharist unites us in a singular way with our Lord. He says, "Whoever eats my flesh and drinks my blood remains in me, and I in him. Just as the Father sent me, and I have life because of the Father, so also the one who feeds on me." And the word that St. John uses, remember, I know it's not the best image, but it's gnawing. That is the Greek word. And it's kind of what, I know this isn't some of the best, but it's to help you understand. It's not symbolism. St. John uses a word that was used when an animal gnaws on, if you will, its prey, because I don't know how else to put it. It's not a good image of us, but I wanted to make it clear that St. John, remember, he's there. He knows what Jesus is saying. He knows exactly the words that Jesus, that's why the people are getting angry. They're like, the Eucharist preserves, increases, and renews a life of grace received at baptism. The Eucharist also happens to be the most complete form of Christ's presence available this side of heaven. Now, I know other people argue, that's fine, but it doesn't change that fact. The Eucharist, whether a sacrifice, heavenly food, or divine presence, is a marvel of God's goodness and his love for each one of you. The Eucharist is Christ's union with us and our grafting to him. The thing that came to me immediately was from John 15, where he says, the vine and the branches, the Eucharist grafts us to him, and he becomes very part of us. Our Lord instituted the Eucharist that we might be one with him, united to him, as the head is united to the body, and I mean it this way, but I also mean it in the theological sense. Jesus is the head, and the church is the body. But it also, just as food, and I know we never think about it, but we eat the food, and then the food becomes part of us. I don't think about that when I'm eating an apple. Oh, the apple's going to become part of me. But you see, Jesus is brilliant in the way he's describing it to help us to understand. Jesus himself offers us the gift of the Eucharist. He desires us to participate and to partake of this great gift, this great sacramental gift. And yet many people hold back from it. Some refuse to believe, and others will not bother with it. And I'm not talking about the other Christians. I'm talking about our own members. My brothers and sisters, let us pray for a deep and abiding understanding and devotion to the great gift of the Eucharist so that we will receive it fervently, that we will receive it frequently, and that we will receive it with joy all our life long. My friends, when Jesus says, whoever eats my flesh and drinks my blood remains in me and I in him, just as the Father has sent me and I have life because of the Father, do you know what he's referring to? Jesus is God and has existed in all time. So what do you think Jesus is saying is, because I have life of the Father? He's referring to the incarnation. The Father sent him. Where? Mary. And now he has human life. He always had eternal life. He's God. But now he came in a different way. Am I overthinking all the scriptures too much? We'll write a letter to my professors. There's the one who made me do this. Because they told us we'd never be able to think outside of our own heads anymore. But this is what he's getting at. And he says, so also the one who feeds on me will have life because of this. It all seems impossible. And yet the scriptures tell us that all things are possible to God. I told you I was going to preach on the Eucharist until this chapter is done.